Scripture reading this morning shall be read from the first book of Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 23 through 27. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, shew forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathens, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place.
Thank you so much for looking at that passage from the Old Testament in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 16, which I've selected as the introduction for our lesson this morning on the subject of be thankful for God's authority. We thank you for being with us in our worship assembly. We are very confident that you will leave today recognizing that we have a respect and an honor for the Word of God here. Thank you for honoring the Word of God in your life. We're delighted to see you in the worship assembly today. It's no surprise to any of us as believers that God is the Creator of all. And because of who He is, He has an inherent right to communicate to man His will, to command man to do certain things, and to expect of man that man would obey. He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to tell us how to think. He has the right to tell us how to live. He has the right to tell us how to talk. He has the right to tell us how to dress. Every aspect of our lives, He has a right to tell us and command us. You name it. And God has the power to back it up. We, as His creatures, do not kick back. We do not demand answers from Him. Like it or not, we're under His authority. But here's something that I've been thinking about. Why would we oppose being under His authority? Why would we object to that? Why would it be distasteful for us to be under authority to God? Why wouldn't we like it? Rather than thinking of it as some form of drudgery, why not be thankful for God's authority? After all, if we wish to glorify God, the way we do that initially is to recognize His great power, power that belongs only to Him. Notice the key reason for gladness and rejoicing in 1 Chronicles 16, looking at verse 31 from our text this morning. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns, so let the heavens be glad. The Lord reigns, so let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, so let the nations praise Him in His authority and power. The Lord reigns, so let us be thankful. You see, those are good things, positive things, empowering things. So here then are some reasons why we can be thankful for the authority of our Heavenly Father. In the first place, God is the judge. And I'm thankful for that. And I can appreciate that because I've seen so many times when man's judgment on things has not been very good at all. Haven't you? God is judge. And because His authority means that He is the judge, not me or you or anyone else, then I don't have to worry about untangling the sticky situations and the sticky questions that come up about the nature of God and eternity. You might hear someone say sometime or discuss with you, where do you think my grandparents are? Do you think they made it to heaven? Where do you think my parents are? Do you think they made it to heaven? You might want to entertain those questions at some time. And those questions disturb people. Because people get to thinking about the requirements of God and His Word, and how well did my family members measure up to that? And what did they really believe? And maybe during the latter part of their life, maybe they straightened out what was wrong. And we have a lot of questions and we wonder about things like that. But you know, we don't have to. We don't have to know the answer to those things. Those things are confusing to us. We don't need to worry about pleasing other people. Especially other people in the world. You know, it's a great challenge to let the world decide how we ought to live. What tennis shoes we ought to wear. What blue jeans are cool and in style that we need to have. And if we don't, we're losers. You know, it's a strange thing to let the world decide for us how to live. I don't need to do that. I can be thankful that God is judge. And He's a righteous judge. And so I would need to concern myself with pleasing and glorifying God based on what God has revealed in His Word. In 2 Corinthians 5, 8 and 9, here we have this. Paul says to the Christians there, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him." We can be thankful for God's authority because it allows us what we need to have this good courage and this ambition to be pleasing to Him. The longer Paul remained in the world, the more good things he could accomplish for the cause of Christ, certainly. He was a dedicated Christian. But his personal preference was to depart and to be with the Lord. Paul had no knowledge of how or by what means that he would die. But he was determined to so live that he would stand approved in the sight of God whenever that time came. Are we thankful that the Lord has shown us through His authority how to please Him? Do we know anything about pleasing God? We certainly do, don't we? In His Word. And aren't we thankful for that? Are we thankful for the sayings of Christ? The Word He spoke that clarifies how we will be judged in John 12 and verse 48. Consequently, you and I may say with Paul, "But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord." In the final analysis, each of us, as individuals, just like Paul in this situation, will stand before God. And what other people think? They think we're justified? They think we're not justified? It doesn't matter what other people think. It is irrelevant what others think. As a Christian, Paul was an agent of the Lord, and it was to the Lord that he would have to answer. Man might approve of his conduct, but Paul says that would be a very small thing. Man might disapprove of his conduct. Paul would say that's a very small thing. Some exalted Paul, as you know from your study of Corinthians, to the head of a party within the church that was causing division. Others depreciated him to the point of denying that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's a very small thing. Your estimate of me, whether you exalt me or whether you put me low, that's a very small thing. Human judges might pass favorably on his case, while the Lord would not. Paul did not trust any human judgments, not even his own. Not even his own. Even though Paul could think nothing in himself that was wrong, if measured by his own personal wisdom, that alone wouldn't satisfy Paul. That alone wouldn't be the correct standard. The Lord has the final standard for any and every person as to whether they are right or whether they are wrong. All human judgment is inferior to divine judgment. Man does not have the knowledge available to him to make infallible judgments. Therefore, his judgments cannot be trusted. Now here's the question. Are we thankful to God for the very fact that his judgments are true, correct, right, beneficial, will bless us, etc., etc.? Are we thankful for that? Let us be people who are very thankful today for this fact that God is judge. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Secondly, let us be thankful today that God has power to be gracious. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that if you were to enter a conversation with them and you were to ask them, are you a gracious person? You know, most of the people that you would talk with and ask that question would say, well, sure I am. And they might even offer examples to you to illustrate that they are very gracious people. But the one who truly is gracious, and the one who is gracious far and above any other that we could possibly know about, is God Himself. And are you thankful for this? That God's authority is what gives great power to grace? Grace means nothing unless it comes from one who has the power to dispense it and make it available to us. To mend our own relationship with God, regaining God's favor after having once lost it, is beyond the power of any of us. When people reach the point in life where they deliberately choose to do what is wrong over and above what is right, all we can claim from God is justice. And that's what we deserve. Justice for us means certain condemnation. But what if He has the power to be gracious? What if He has the power, even though out of His justice we deserve condemnation, that He says, I will be gracious to you? Would we be thankful for that? Absolutely we would, wouldn't we? God does not owe it to anyone to stop justice from taking its course. He's not obliged to pity us. He's not obligated to pardon us. He's not obliged to love and to help us with this. But does it not take power? Does it not take authority to show goodness to persons who deserve only severity? Here's someone who overrides severity and demonstrates graciousness. Is it not wonderful that in the kingdom of our God, our judge becomes our Savior? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love that? Certainly He has the power to decide to whom He will show His grace. A long time ago, when the Lord passed by in front of Moses on Mount Sinai, that second time that God had to provide the laws written in stone, the Lord proclaimed in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, and I'm using the New American Standard Bible, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Notice the beautiful thing said about God, and he has the authority to see it through. Isn't that wonderful? And aren't you thankful for that today? He's gracious. And this tells us the ground on which God bestows his mercies to you and to me. It's not for anything in man. It's not anything that man came up with or originated with man. All of God's mercies are gifts, free favors to people entirely devoid of any worthiness. And yet, our God is gracious. Many are the appeals to this grace of God recorded in the Old Testament. Here are just a few. David cried, "O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth," from Psalm 86, 14 and 15. Hezekiah appealed to the divine clemency in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 9. "For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn his face away from you if you return to him." So did Jonah in Jonah 4 and verse 2. "For I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." These people knew God, you see. Isaiah assured the people in his day in Isaiah 30 and verse 18, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him." You long for him today? You can be thankful for his authority, can't you? Because he has the authority to dispense what you and I need. Grace, forgiveness, his loving kindness and his compassion. Through Joel, God said to Israel in Joel 2 and verse 13, "And rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil." While the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet asked in Malachi 1 and verse 9, "But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us?" What about you today? You're here to worship God. You entreat his favor to be gracious to us. Oh, how wonderful that is. And oh, how thankful I am. And oh, how thankful we all should be for the power that God demonstrates to provide grace to us. Isn't that wonderful? Recall Jesus' healing of the paralytic in Mark 2. When he saw the man's faith, Jesus said to him that his sins were forgiven. And the people reacted by saying, "Well, wait a minute, only God can forgive sins." To which Jesus responded, "Why are you reasoning about these things within your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic. I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. Without the authority inherent in Jesus, the man's sins would have been retained by him. But through Jesus' great authority, Jesus could dispense grace and forgiveness and show his loving kindness and his mercy to this paralyzed person. God's authority means that he can provide the grace that's needed, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning from the letter to the Hebrews. God has the power and the authority to do that. And without that power and authority, our sins would remain. How thankful are you today for the authority of God that he has such great power that he can graciously and mercifully erase your sins from his remembrance. That's a wonderful blessing. And then thirdly, let us think about this, because we want to be thankful today that God has the power and the authority to fulfill every promise that he has ever made to man. We can rely on that. Are you thankful today for God's authority? That he has the power to fulfill his promises? People sometimes, you know, promise things that they can't give. And they'll promise this and promise that and get in the habit of promising things to where they get to the point where they know, they really know, they can say they're going to promise to do something with no intention whatsoever of doing it. I think that's a disease that plagues the contractors part of our country, don't you? I'll be there first thing Monday morning. Well, Tuesday morning rolls around and they hadn't shown up yet. Aren't you thankful that God has the power, that when he says, I will do this, you can bank on the fact that that's exactly what God will do? Aren't you thankful for that? What if he dealt with us like people deal with us? What if he dealt with us and told us things that people sometimes tell us, knowing all the while they have no intention of fulfilling what they have promised to do? Think of the empty promises given by fallible people who strive for political power in our country, or the disappointment we feel when someone promises something to us and they have no power at all to deliver what they promise. This will never happen with God. Never. Because he has the power and authority to do exactly what he says in his word he will do. God has that power. He has all authority. He has complete control over all the promises that he has given, and God will not disappoint. And you and I can be thankful for that. We can rejoice in that. We may have the same faith as the Apostle Paul in the simple situation when he was promised that the ship that he was on, there would be no loss of life, even though he endured a heavy storm. In Acts 27 and verse 25, when he tells his fellow passengers on this ship, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Now you and I might read over that casually and not think about it very much. But Paul is demonstrating by his statement to these men the kind of living and active and strong faith that he has in the very Word of God. And you and I can be thankful to the same extent that Paul obviously was. he began his epistle to Titus with these reassuring words in Titus 1:1-2. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, notice, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. The confidence in the power of God. A promise is the declaration of something offered with the implied obligation to carry out the pledge. The Christian's confidence in this promise is grounded in the very nature of God Himself. He is a God of truth, Isaiah 65 and verse 16. And it is impossible for Him to lie, Hebrews 6 and verse 18. Our trust in God's promises is the reason we have hope as an anchor for our souls in Hebrews 6. All of this is possible because of the authority of God. Aren't you thankful for that? Here's what the Hebrew writer says. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you, and surely I will multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. You see what he's saying there? And how thankful we should be, you and I, for this attribute of God. He desired to provide some means of assurance to those interested in His counsel or His promise, so He accomplished the assuring by adding His oath to the promise, thereby confirming it. But God didn't have to add an oath. All God had to do was say, it's going to be this way. But by two immutable things, God declared this. Believers have strong consolation for the future. The prospect of eternal salvation is the hope that stimulates you and I to serve God. Why are we serving God? We're thankful. We're thankful for His authority. We're thankful that He fulfills His promises. We're thankful for the hope that we have that's based on something sure and steadfast. That stimulates us to serve God. Are you thankful today for God's power to fulfill His promises? I certainly hope that you are. I am. God's authority should never be seen as a burden. Rather, we have every reason to be thankful for who God is and the authority and power that He possesses and shows to us in His Word. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And in Psalm 47, 1 through 9, a psalm of the sons of Korah, verse 2 says, for the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. Verse 7 says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. And verse 8 says, God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. A simple way to sum up our proper response to God is to say that we must adopt, cultivate, allow to grow within ourselves a reverence for God by all means and gratitude in our hearts. Be thankful. I am certainly thankful today. God's greatness as our King calls for us as His subjects to find our gladness in His glory, our thankfulness in Him. Aren't you thankful today? I certainly am. And I hope that you are too. If you're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian, we'd like for you to become thankful that through the authority of God, He has provided for you a way to be right with Him and to live with Him eternally after this short life is over. And He's done that in His Word with great clarity. He has shown us that we must hear the Word of God and that we must believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. We will if we hear His Word. Not only that, but we must repent of our sins and find the courage because of what the faith that has grown within us, what we believe based on God's Word, to confess Him before men and to submit ourselves to baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins, all as the Bible teaches. We ask no person to do anything that has not been commanded by the doctrine of Christ. And when you do this, the Lord will forgive your sins because He has the authority to do it. And He has the authority to tell us, this is the way to get it done. And you and I can believe it, bank on it, act on it, and rest assured that the promises of God are true and He will forgive our sins and we can live as faithful people belonging to Him and live with Him in heaven after a very short while. Can we help you with this today? If we can, please come to the front and tell me about it while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song, May God Bless You Today, is our prayer.